This is What's It Like with Dr. Ken Tangen.
I am Ken Tangen. This is episode 88 of What's It Like. My guest is Leslie Samuel. You may be familiar with his voice from the... because he was the voice of the Sorting Hat in all the Harry Potter movies. No, wait, that was Leslie Samuel Phillips. This is the Leslie Samuel without the Phillips.
There you go.
This is the biology Leslie Samuel. Hey, Leslie, how are you?
I am doing very well. How you doing?
I'm good. So you're somewhere in Michigan, right?
I am in Berrien Springs, Michigan, yes.
Which is close to not much.
Not much at all. I think it's on the map. I'm not 100% sure. We're 30 minutes away from South Bend, Indiana.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. We're 30 minutes away from that. We're an hour away from Grand Rapids. So if that gives you some kind of direction.
Yeah, about 6 hours away from civilization. Did you grow up in that area?
I did not grow up in this area. I actually am from the island of St. Martin in the Caribbean. Yeah, I lived there for almost 17 years before I moved here to Michigan.
Hmm. So when did you come from a large family?
Well, I have one older brother, one younger sister, and then a bunch of cousins and so on that were always around. So not a big immediate family, but we always had family around.
Did your whole family make the trip to Michigan, or was that a solo cruise?
That was a solo mission. I came here to go to university to pursue higher education.
Ah.
That's why I left, yeah.
When you were growing up, who had the biggest influence on your life?
Who had the biggest influence on my life? That's an interesting question. My parents definitely had a significant influence on my life. We're a close family. We did a lot of stuff together. I mean, there was a lot happening in our house. We always had friends over and so on. But my parents had a strong role in who I am today. My mother especially, because we spent a lot of time with her. She was a teacher at the school that I went to. So when we came home, usually she came home around the same time or maybe shortly after. My parents did a lot in terms of instilling the values that I have in terms of making me into the person that I am today.
What was your major challenge as a child?
My major challenge? You say that as if it was only one. Well, you know, when I think about major challenges as a child, I think the biggest thing for me was when I went to school, but I wasn't really very much into it. I knew that that was the thing that you were supposed to do, but the classwork came relatively easy to me, but I really didn't like to do my homework. I didn't like to study as much and all that kind of stuff. I really just enjoyed hanging out with my family, hanging out with my friends, and just having a good time. So I made it through, you know, elementary school and high school okay, but it kind of set me up in a way where when I came to university, I wasn't fully prepared for what I was going to face there because I wasn't used to doing homework. I wasn't used to studying, even though I did relatively well at home. But that really, I think that affected me negatively in some ways in terms of preparing me for college or not preparing me well for college.
So going away to college must have been a big change for you.
Oh, it was a huge change. I mean, for the first time I was on my own, I could do exactly what I want. At home in St. Martin, when I didn't do my homework, well, I didn't do my homework, but I still had my parents there telling me, hey, you got to do this, you got to do that. But now when I'm in college, I'm in America, this big place that you hear so much about. there's no one to tell you what you have to do. So I really was not fully ready. And I came here with the same mentality that I had at home. You see, the difference was at home, you had homework, for example, but your homework wasn't a part of your official grade. So as long as you did well on a test, you were fine. And when I came up here, that was not the case. We had homework, and your homework counted for your grades. And I wasn't doing my homework. And obviously that's going to result in me having lower than average grades. So that was a big challenge when it comes to the transition. And it took me a while to kind of catch myself and realize that, okay, I really need to get stuff done. I really need to focus and do well, do my best.
So what turned you around?
Oh, man, there were so many things that played a role in turning me around. Number one, it was getting poor grades and, you know, having to face my family, my parents that were spending a lot of money. I went to a private university, and private universities aren't cheap. I mean, when I started, it was about $17,000 a year. So they're investing a lot of money in me. For me to succeed, because they knew that I could do it. And I remember, you know, I was up here, I was having a good time, I was spending money, buying clothes, and having a lot of fun. And one summer I went home, and I remember my dad was wearing some shoes, and they had holes in it. And, you know, I kind of made fun of him, you know, hey, you're wearing these old shoes, what's wrong with you? And he told me, well, you know, that those are the sacrifices you have to make so that your kids can go out there and get an education.
Whoa.
And when he said that, it was like, ouch, you know, he's making these sacrifices for me. And I'm up there and I'm just wasting all of it. I'm wasting the money that he's investing in me. So that was part of it. Another part of it was that for me personally, there were a lot of things happening in my life where I grew up a Christian. And I went to church every week and was very active in the church, but I really didn't have that real relationship with God. And while I was in college, I found that. And when I found that, it kind of transformed so many aspects of my life, that there were so many things that changed almost at the same time. You know, so there was a lot of things that was just going on with me. And as a result of all the different things that I was going through, as a result of the people that I was associating with, as a result of getting into a class that was a very challenging class, and for the first time really feeling challenged, but not just challenged, feeling, you know, very excited about the information that I was learning. I mean, there were so many things happening. And that really kind of made me want to do something more than what I was doing.
So how'd you pick biology?
How did I pick biology? Well, when I went to college at first, I had no idea what I wanted to do. When I was younger, I always used to say I wanted to be a scientist. I didn't even really know what that was. I wanted to be an inventor, because anytime I got a toy, I would break it apart to look at the individual components and to see how it was put together, how's the motor functioning and all those things. So those types of things really interested in me, but I really did not know what I wanted to do. But when I was in high school, I did very well in sciences. I did well in chemistry. I did well in biology, and I was tutoring people in those subjects. At the end of my high school career, the grade that I had the highest grade in, the class that I had the highest grade in, was chemistry. So when I went to college, I chose chemistry just because, well, I guess I'm doing well in that, so I might as well study that. And then I started taking chemistry classes, and as a part of being a chemistry major, you also needed to take biology classes. So I was in chemistry, I was in biology, and chemistry just didn't do it for me. I mean, I'm not excited by molecules. I'm not as excited by chemical reactions and those types of things. But in biology, I was learning about the human body, and I was learning about how it functioned and the different parts of the body and how everything kind of fits together. And that was fascinating to me. And the more I studied it, when I actually started studying, the more I just got really excited about the content. And I decided, first I went kind of in between. I did biochemistry. And then eventually I decided, okay, I'm going to go full biology, because this is what I love. This is what's exciting to me. So I decided to major in biology.
And you went on for a master's.
I did went on for a master's because that same class that I took, that physiology class, the first section of the class that really got me excited was the section on the nervous system. Just studying how the brain works, how the spinal cord works, and how the neurons function and so on. It was so complex, but it was so exciting to me that I decided that I wanted to go deeper into it. And the professor saw how I was doing, and I did. I was the top in the class, and he approached me and he asked me if I'd consider doing research in neurobiology. And I said, yeah, that sounds great. And I did that. And then eventually he offered or he spoke to me about possibly doing a master's in neurobiology. And I thought to myself, oh, that is it. I would love to do that. I'm enjoying this so much that, hey, why not go ahead and get a master's? And they were going to pay for it. So I had no complaints about that. And everything worked out. I mean, because the school is a very expensive school, and to get that funded and to get a stipend along with it. And I had the opportunity of traveling to Germany and doing research for the school. And it was just, it was a challenge. And in some ways it was more of a challenge than I anticipated, but it was very rewarding.
So what was the title of your thesis?
What was the title of my thesis? The title of my thesis was a comparison between the function of the AN2 interneuron in villus bimaculatus and the L3 interneuron in Akita domesticus.
No matter how long.
Fascinating.
Yeah, actually it does, but no matter how many years pass, somehow when you start that little thing of starting the title of it, it just comes naturally.
It brings back so many memories. I mean, all that time I spent in that lab looking at the function of one neuron in a cricket. And the fact that, and that's what fascinates me about this neurobiology stuff, because I mean, they've been studying that one neuron for years and we still don't fully understand how it functions. And then you think about it. Well, we have, you know, 100 billion neurons in our brains.
That's true.
And to figure out how all of that works together, it's just amazing to me.
Yeah. And so you naturally went on for your doctorate.
Well, actually, I did not. I have not done a doctorate. After doing the research that I was doing, I was actually turned off from it for a number of reasons. But the main reason was I could not. What I wanted to do was teach. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that's what God wanted me to do. And spending, you know, sometimes 10, 12, 14. I remember one day spending 16 hours in a lab doing dissections of crickets under microscopes and doing electrophysiological recordings and all this type of stuff, and then working on the analysis and so on. There was not much interaction. There was not much teaching. It was just me working and doing this research, and I really came to the point where I hated doing it. So I told myself, you know what, this PhD stuff is not for me. Maybe I should consider something else.
And you know, you didn't actually have to continue on with a cricket. You could have moved on to something else.
I know, but I was so scarred from the cricket that I just associated that with with what I was going to be doing, even though I knew that weren't the case. But I knew that as a university professor, typically there's a lot more research involved than I like. I don't really enjoy the process of doing research. I think it's extremely valuable and it has helped me a significant amount. But what I wanted to do was teach. So I when I finished my master's, or actually before I finished my master's, I got the opportunity to teach at a boarding academy teaching science and math. My wife was going to be teaching music at the same school, so we decided to go there and teach there for a few years, and that's exactly what we did.
Have fun.
Yep.
Biology led you astray. It also led you into the internet marketing stuff.
Well, there's so many things that happened when it comes to the internet marketing stuff. While I was teaching at the high school, I stumbled onto a way to make money online. So I said, hey, you know what? Let me check this out in my spare time. And I started doing that. Eventually, I got into more internet marketing and blogging and a number of different things, kind of as a side business, a hobby / side business. And it started going very well. I was learning a lot and so on, but I was teaching at the high school level. Now, teaching at the high school level in the type of a small boarding Christian school that I was teaching in, I was teaching a bunch of stuff. I was teaching biology and physics and algebra half, consumer math, geometry, all at the same time. And it wasn't really the biology that I was excited about. I was excited about neurobiology. I was excited about physiology and more advanced stuff. So I decided, you know, I'm learning all this stuff about internet marketing. I'm passionate about biology, but I'm not teaching the type of biology that I would like to be teaching. Why not do it on the internet with this internet marketing stuff that I've been learning so much about? So I started a biology website at interactive-biology.com. And what I did is I just started teaching. I started making videos, posting them on YouTube, posting them to my blog, and kind of growing this biology website where I'd still get to teach the stuff that I'm passionate about teaching without anyone telling me exactly what I have to do. I could do it exactly the way I would want to do it. And that could be at the university level. It could be at the med school level. It could be at whatever I feel like doing, because the internet is opening up this technology that the average person can do such amazing things. So I started doing that. And that biology website has grown significantly over the last year and a half. I mean, on YouTube, it's up to, I think now it's at 1.2 million views. And, you know, the site is doing very well. I get about 30,000 people checking it out on a monthly basis. So, I mean, it's just exciting to see what you can do with the internet, what you can do with technology, regardless of what you're interested in. You'd never think, well, I'm going to start a biology website and turn that into a business. At least that's not what I used to think. But now I see how much is possible with the tools that we have today.
And so now you combine your online activities and you also do teaching. So what's the best thing about your job?
Well, the best thing about my job is I get to help people. I get to take concepts that, and I guess that's whether you're talking about my teaching job or what I do online, I get to take concepts that's complicated and break them down in a way for people to understand them. And when you see that light bulb turn on, like, oh, that's what that is supposed to be, or that's how that functions, now it makes sense. When I see that, that makes me feel as if I'm you know, making a difference. When I check my email, and this has to do with online, and I see over 1,000 messages in the last year from people all over the world. I mean, I think about 170 different countries, people sending me emails saying that they were struggling to understand these concepts, and now they're understanding it much better. Thank you, thank you. I mean, that to me is extremely rewarding. I feel as if I'm having an impact, and I that gets me excited.
Well, let me turn the question around. What's the worst thing about your job?
What's the worst thing about my job? That's a good question. When it comes to my job as a university professor, one of the challenges I think I have with it, especially, you know, when you're just getting started, because now I'm a university professor as a result of the stuff that I'm doing online. I got this job and now I'm teaching there since this school year. But I feel as if I am always on the run, always doing something, always preparing, always studying, always going. And that can get very exhausting. And I know that it's something that, you know, you put in the effort in the beginning, and once you have the materials developed and so on, it gets easier. But it's a challenge to try to keep up with everything in this first year. Like I mentioned, I don't have a PhD. I'm going to be working on a PhD now because the school is sponsoring me to get a PhD and requiring me to do a PhD. But just the balance of getting everything done that you can, that you have to get done, making sure that you're giving the students the quality of education that they need, and still trying to have a personal life, being there with my wife and having time to spend with her when we start a family, having time for the family. I think that's the biggest challenge that I face when looking at what I'm doing.
So you're going to teach,
uh-huh,
get a PhD, uh-huh, spend time with your wife, uh-huh, and work online. And yeah, hey, that sounds easy.
You know, I don't know how I do it, but I get it done. And you know, it's exciting to me to see everything getting done. And it has to do with time management. It has to do with, well, honestly, I feel as if God has just been opening up my mind to be able to understand the things that I need to understand, things that, you know, I struggle with memorizing a lot of details, but for some reason it's coming to me as I'm preparing and as I just kind of just open myself up and say, hey, this is what I need to accomplish. Let's go and do it. So it's exciting to see it all come together.
What type of person will be good at your job?
What type of person will be good at my job? A person that really loves helping people. A person that's not too concerned about knowing everything. Because when it comes to teaching, it's not about knowing everything, but it's about being willing to learn and being willing to share that information that you're learning with other people. You have to be really concerned about others. I mean, I've been in classes where the teachers just didn't care. And to me, okay, yeah, some of them are good teachers, but to me, when you really care about your student, you can have such a greater impact. You can do so much more in their lives to help them to accomplish their goals. So someone that really wants to help others succeed.
Mm-hmm. The real challenge of teaching is having prepared everything the best way you can, yeah. Having read several textbooks and putting them all together and making it as simple and interesting and as the perfect presentation is that you give it and the students go, what? And every semester you have to find a new way of explaining the things that you thought were perfect for the semester before.
That's exactly right.
So, given all of the tasks you're doing, if there is such a thing, what's a typical day like for you?
A typical day is me waking up in the morning at approximately 6 o'clock. I usually have my devotions, and then I get to work on some of the stuff that I'm doing online for about, you know, a half hour to an hour. Then I jump into the stuff that I need to do for my classes. I go to my classes. And while I'm at work, I do some more preparation for my classes, getting stuff together and so on. And then at night, I do some more work on the stuff that I'm doing online. That's a typical day right now.
So, Leslie, everybody has to give themselves motivation occasionally. How do you give yourself a kick in the pants?
You know, there are a number of ways I do that. I think a big part of it has to do with my wife. My wife is very supportive of what I'm doing. And she sees all the stuff that's happening with what I'm doing right now. And she's excited. And she kind of motivates me to stick with it and to get stuff done. Then I think about, you know, in the future, having kids and being financially stable for them so that they can have the things that they need. And not that it's all about money. It's not all about money. But it's good to be in a situation where you can take care of your family. You know, also I think about debt. As a result of going to university and all the things that I've done, I've accumulated debt. So I need to get that taken care of. And just really making my family proud, that's another thing. When I think about my family and when I think about the sacrifices that they've made for me, I want to make them proud. So I do what I do in part to make them proud. So those are a few of the things that kind of motivate me. Those are a few of the things.
When you have to calm yourself, how do you soothe yourself?
Hanging out with friends and family. That's a big stress reliever for me. On Sundays, a few of the guys, we go and we play racquetball and we just have some fun, and then we go swimming and those types of things. So it's, you know, just taking a break from everything and just stepping back and just relaxing, spending time with people that you care about. That really is very calming to me. It's kind of how I grew up. Every week, after church, we'd have a bunch of people over to our home. Then we'd just hang out and have fun and relax and eat and so on. I came from, where that's concerned, a very laid-back environment. And every time when I need to calm myself, when I need to relax, I just try to put myself back in that kind of an environment.
Island living, huh?
There you go.
Is there an event in your life that has challenged you to the core?
An event in my life that has challenged me to the core. Yes. I had to think about that for a minute. But when I was in Germany doing my master's degree, when I was in Germany doing my research for my master's degree, there was a point in time where it was very stressful. The second time I went to Germany, I went 2 summers. And the second summer that I went, the university that I was working for, the department ran out of money. So they couldn't pay me a stipend anymore. And I was in Germany, and I didn't have money to do the regular things that you'd like to have money to do. My family was going through a very tough financial time at that point in time. And it was really tough for me to get through doing all the research that I really didn't enjoy doing, spending so much time doing it, not having money sometimes to buy food, I lost a lot of weight while I was up there. I was trying to do a number of things online back then to make some money just so that I could eat. I was designing websites just to get a little bit of money here and there so that I can eat. I was relying on people around me. The lab that I went to, they'd have meals in there once in a while, and I'd go there and I'd get the free meals. And, you know, that was a really tough, challenging time. And I remember one day riding home on my bike and just screaming at God, like, what in the world are you doing to me? Because there were so many things going wrong. I couldn't afford to eat. I was staying in a house, and fortunately, the place that I was staying, they had a kind of like a bar downstairs, and you could get drinks in there and then just charge it to your bill. And if I didn't have that, I would go for a while without even drinking. So it was really challenging, but I survived, and I believe as a result of it, I'm stronger today than I was before. But it was tough.
Is there an idea or a principle that has helped you through your challenges?
Yes. While I was going through my challenges is when I really sat back and I said, even though I was questioning God and questioning if he was there and what he was doing, I said, you know what? I need to really put God to the test. And I came to the point where I realized that regardless of what was going on in my life, God was still there and that he was taking care of me. And he showed me that in so many ways, because even though I didn't have money for food, he would open up the way for me, especially the days when I was saying to myself, man, I have no idea how I'm going to survive today. There would be something that would happen, some unexpected thing where someone would come by and drop off some food or something that I needed. And it was just kind of showing me that, you know, regardless of what I'm going through, God is still there. And that got me through everything that I was dealing with at that point.
If you were giving a commencement address for high school or college, giving your best advice, what would you say?
Oh, man, my best advice would be, don't limit yourself by what's in a book. Don't limit yourself by what someone tells you. I believe that you were meant for more. So don't put those types of restrictions on yourself. Keep moving forward. There's a plan for your life. And I believe that if you really and truly seek it, you will find it. So for me personally, that means, okay, yes, I'm teaching at the university, but I also explored these other avenues of doing this stuff that I'm doing online, and it has opened so many doors of opportunity for me. That's not something that I learned in a textbook, and textbooks are great. I've learned so much from textbooks, but sometimes you need to go beyond that.
I want to thank Leslie Samuel for joining me today. Thanks, Leslie. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it too.
If you'd like to leave a comment, ask a question, or get more info, go to whatsitlike.info.